Hey folks, we're going to start here. We have a presentation about Constellation, autonomous computation Kubernetes, how to manage Kubernetes within Kubernetes. The presenters are Mohit and
Malta.
So, big shout out to them.
Thank you. Yeah, we'd like to pick up where I think Nick in his initial presentation of saying we need to have like a let's encrypt movement, we need to make confidential computing a commodity, where he started off, and then Magnus I think had a great talk showing all those bits and pieces that we need to have to bring together like the use cases, the cloud native world, the way we develop applications for the cloud, and the advantages that the confidential computing technology gives us, how to bring them together, and where are those gaps. And historically seen, or for different kind of use cases, I would roughly split from a use case perspective of if I want to develop an application, where can CC help me? How can I apply confidential computing? I can roughly split that in three tiers, if you will. I think one is definitely managing keys, having enclaves that hold your cryptographic certificates, your keys, that process the crypto operations for you. Very small TCP, very small kind of application, right? And then the second one is where I package my entire application inside a enclave, inside a confidential container. And I think that's what we've been doing lately a lot. And then I think the third thing is what Magnus described, is how can we bring that together, making this orchestratable, making this manageable, deployable. And I think there are different ways of getting from the tier two or the way we are to here. One is, I guess, what Magnus described with taking containers, making them confidential containers, and then having the problems with orchestration. And an orthogonal approach that we like to present now is more of the idea of having confidential clusters. So instead of isolating individual containers, isolating the nodes. The downside probably is a little bit larger TCB. The advantages being more closely to where we are right now with deploying and developing cloud native applications. Talking about challenges for level three, definitely I think one of the biggest ones is UI UX, right? There's little hope that people will go ahead and drastically adjust the way they deploy and develop applications for the cloud just because they want to use this new type of technology. So we need to get very close to where they are and bring those worlds together. And then, of course, there are the challenges Magnus described with orchestration, attesting. How can we attest all those different containers that are running in my cluster and don't necessarily want to verify each and individual instance of it, right? It could be 1,000 and more of the same. And then once I have a cluster, all those day two operations of updating, upgrading, and doing that in a sensitive way where I can always verify what's currently being running and what are the changes. And yeah, big part of what we're going to present today is the right one here, where a big benefit of the cloud is actually that I can give away some of this orchestrational work, and I consume managed services that are operated by someone or autonomously, and I just consume them through an API or any other kind of interface. So as Nick has said, infrastructure is rolling out. We see all those confidential technologies in the cloud, AMD, SEV. We've heard so many today, IBM, RISC-V. Most of them give us a confidential VM, which is, as we've seen, not necessarily the abstraction we want. But still, we can already consume managed Kubernetes that runs on confidential VMs, at least for the worker nodes. I think Azure has it, GCP has it. So this exists, but it's not really solving the problem. I mean, it gives us runtime encryption for the stuff that lives on that nodes, but all the edges, all the IO, is not protected, right? The API server is not protected. We've seen that in Magnus' talk. The metadata problem, the problem of the trusted control plane, the way if you want to consume persistent volumes, is that automatically encrypted, or do I need to adjust my application to encrypt before writing to storage? So the idea of a confidential cluster is that I have somebody or something that fills in those gaps, so that I have, instead of those individual confidential VMs, I have one big context that I can verify through attestation, that I can establish a secret channel, and then if I'm in that context, if I'm in that cluster, I can just use Kubernetes as I used to. And inside there, essentially everything is trusted, right? It's a different type of approach. It just creates an envelope around my Kubernetes and isolates that as a whole. As I said, I think UX and UI and the way we use this is super important. It's not gonna work that we need a lot of adjustments, a lot of additional steps in the development workflows. So having this is just the example of Constellation here, but having like simple way of creating such a confidential cluster and then using it is important. And all those things that I showed, all the challenges we need to solve below, we need to make this more or less invisible, right? In terms of Constellation, we try to make the node operating system as verifiable as possible, strip it down as much as possible, harden it, then strip them together for a cluster. We need to think about supply chain. We need to think about how we can automatically encrypt all the stuff that goes over the network, that goes to the storage. Ideally, this is all open source. So Constellation, if I have mentioned, is open source and is cloud agnostic, so it can run everywhere. And then for most of confidential computing stuff, I need some way of recovery should things go south and everything is down and I need to get back into running mode. So yeah. The big problem with the confidential cluster concept is now I can create a cluster, and we will see in a bit of what that means. But if I can create a cluster, I have everything verified. Now I have to maintain and run it on my own. And this is, I guess, the biggest problem with that concept, right? People want to consume managed stuff, want to have managed Kubernetes, don't want to run their own, orchestrate their own Kubernetes. But this is the big trade-off that people are facing. And yeah, we try to work on concepts of making that as easy as possible. And yeah, Malte is gonna show you how.
Yeah, so thanks for the introduction. So the basic idea that we had was, how can we manage Kubernetes from inside Kubernetes itself? And to kind of draft this idea, I will start by explaining like what typically you can do today. So on the left side, you really have the traditional on-prem model, which is you have the whole cluster in your own hand, the control plane, the worker nodes, it runs on your own hardware, which is great for security, right? Because you have full control. But it also means you are responsible for every single interaction, like scaling up the cluster, joining the nodes, performing upgrades, both on the OS level and also Kubernetes upgrades. And then on the other side, you have something that is super popular. It is just let the cloud provider deal with it. And it means the cloud provider can scale your cluster up and down. Just if you have a burst of traffic coming in, you get new nodes. It's all super easy. You can set it up so that the cloud provider will automatically patch your operating system. It will automatically upgrade your Kubernetes. And this is great from like a DevOps perspective. It's super simple. It scales. It takes away work from the developer and the operator of the cluster. So what we thought is like, why don't we meet in the middle? And that's kind of like we have to run our own control plane in the confidential context. But if we do this, we lose all of these smart features from the cloud provider. So we will just reinvent them, but inside the cluster. And that means we can still do auto-scaling. We can still join the nodes by themselves without any human interaction. We can still roll out OS updates, and we can even roll out Kubernetes upgrades inside a running Kubernetes cluster. So to explain how this works, I will first go on to how Kubernetes nodes and Constellation can actually join the cluster without any outside interaction. And what you have to understand here is these are all confidential VMs, and they make heavy use of the measured boot chain. I think we already had some good introductions on this, but I will still show you how this works in an example. So first, in the confidential VM, we have the firmware. And the firmware is basically just the first part that starts up. And the main task here is to load up the first stage bootloader and to measure it. So we measure it on AMD SEV in the approach we're currently doing. It's measured into a virtual TPM. And then we load this bootloader, and then we will start executing it. And the bootloader just has the task of, in our case, loading the next stage and measuring it, which is a unified kernel image. And this is a very neat trick. It's basically just one blob that contains the Linux kernel and init.rom.fs and also the kernel command line. So the nice property here is we can measure all of these in one blob and don't have to take care of the individual components, which can be quite hard to do correctly. And inside of this init.rom.fs, we will use the kernel command line to extract the hash that we expect for the root file system. And for this, we use dmVerity, which I will not go into too much detail about. It just allows us to have a read-only root file system, and we know in advance that it has not been tampered with, and we can efficiently check every block while it is read and before it is actually given to the user land. So that's how we get to the root file system. And inside of this root file system, we have a small application, and the task of this application is to join this node into the Kubernetes cluster. So next to the completely unmodifiable OS, we have a state disk. And the only task of the state disk is to have the data for Kubernetes itself, like container images and state at runtime, that has to be stored on disk. And this is initialized to be completely clean. It's encrypted. And yeah, that's like a component we need to operate. So the next question is, how do we make these things possible? And for this, we deploy some microservices inside of Constellation. And these are the node operator. This is responsible for actually rolling out updates. It's the join service that attests nodes that are joining the cluster and decides if they are allowed to join or not. We also have a key service that is handling encryption keys, and yeah, some more that are not really important right now. So how does a node actually join the cluster? So I mentioned there's the bootstrapper that is started inside of the confidential virtual machine, and it will autonomously search for the existing Kubernetes control plane, and it will perform remote attestation using attested TLS. And it will basically use the attestation statement from, for example, from AMD SCV, SNP. And this way, so the join service already knows what measurements to expect from a correct node that is running the expected software. So it can decide at this point if the booted node is running what you want it to run and decide if it is allowed to join the cluster. So based on this, the join service can then offer the node a join token, which allows it to join the cluster. And it will also hand out a permanent encryption key for the state disk. So next, we will have a quick look at how updates work. And on a high level, we want the administrator to be in control. We don't want to give up complete control over the update process, but we want the actual execution to be completely automatic and seamless. And we do this by basically just telling the cluster what to do, and the rest is done by a Kubernetes operator, which is a way to give in a desired state and let the cluster handle moving towards the state. And an important thing to think about here is we are running in the cloud environment, and we don't want you to depend on individual nodes. This is also what GKE and EKS and others are doing. We're saying, if you want to upgrade, we will give you a new node that has the desired configuration. And we will never try to do updates in place. So how does the actual update work? We basically give in custom resources that describe the desired state, so the Kubernetes version and the OS image that we want to run on, and some properties to actually verify the expected measurements for the new image and hashes for the individual Kubernetes components. And the operator reads this information and basically checks if the desired state matches reality. And if it detects a mismatch, it will first stop any autoscaling operations that are happening in the cluster. And then it will start replacing the nodes one by one. And for this, we use the different APIs by the cloud providers. So in this case, we will just spawn a new node in the correct node group that has the desired configuration. We wait for the node to autonomously join the cluster, and we wait for it to become ready. Next, we will cordon and drain the node, which just means we will safely move over your running workloads from this node to other nodes in the cluster. And only if we are sure that your running workloads moved over, we will then remove the old node from the cluster. And yeah, this is basically how you can get from having outdated nodes to having updated nodes. And this will just go on until your whole cluster is up to date. You can also parallelize this. And when this is done, you can just restart the autoscaler and move on with your day.
Okay. All right, quick conclusion.
So in summary, the fundamental ideas, we take this confidential cluster concept, enveloping the entire Kubernetes cluster instead of protecting single containers or pods. What we gain is we get all the orchestration for free. We need to protect the edges, all the I/O and so forth. The downside is we can't isolate inside that cluster, so it's one big envelope, of course. This works already. It's an open source tool. You can check out Constellation on GitHub and then try it locally or on one of the big clouds. From a Kubernetes perspective, it's just vanilla Kubernetes. Not surprising that it's certified. To give out some more references, if you're interested in this whole image part, there was the image-based Linux and TPM dev room. There's a lot of talks on these topics, also very interesting. This is the last talk here, but if you're interested in more confidential computing, sneaky little advertisement here for the OC3 Open Confidential Computing Conference that's going to happen in March. It's virtual, free. You can just sign up and listen to the talks if you're interested. A bunch of the folks that were here, I think, also have a talk there. So yeah, if you have any questions, please feel free to get in touch. And yeah, that's it. Oh, so yeah.
Please repeat the question about STMDLS.
So the question was about the attested TLS. When we join nodes, we establish a secret connection based on attested TLS. Yes, so first of all, our implementation is open source. It's part of the Constellation source on GitHub. I think it's nothing fancy. We use the AMD SCV or Intel TDX and so forth remote attestation statement to exchange a key as part of the data that's sent over, and we bind the TLS session to that attested key. That's, I guess, there are a couple of implementations for attested TLS. They work more or less the same. Yeah. Okay, so repeat the question. The question was there's a known vulnerability for attestation in confidential computing, and given this confidential cluster, if from the whole cluster attestation, I can refer to if one of the nodes is faking attestation. I have to say there were several vulnerabilities in several of the CC technologies over time. I'm not aware of what vulnerability you're referring to. Okay, so the way the cluster attestation works is you give the let's say the first node, right? It has a known configuration. It will attest all other nodes based on this known attestation. If one node would be able to perfectly fake that attestation, you would not know from a cluster attestation perspective which node this would be, right? Yeah, I guess that's what you can say. Which one?
Just the very last one.
It is super simple, but it is big TCB. Do you have any plans to reduce the TCB? We try to. As I said, this is a trade-off. Yes, it's a much larger TCB than SGX, much larger TCB even than confidential containers. We, of course, will try to make it as minimal as possible. Biggest leverage is, of course, the Node.js and everything we can do inside there. We'll definitely try to improve there. Yes?
So you mentioned that there's some firmware at the beginning of the boot process. Is that firmware provided by you or by the cloud provider?
Very good question. The question is, there's part of the confidential VMs is the first component that's booted is the firmware. Do we have control of the firmware? Ideally, we would have. But what's provided by the cloud providers right now is Azure has something in preview that allows you to do that. It's not general available. And GCP does not allow you that. So the firmware for at least GCP or Azure is completely controlled by them. On OpenStack with QMOKVM, you can potentially fully control the firmware. Yeah. Yes, next question.
But doesn't that create a huge trust problem? Because you have to trust the firmware to be secure.
And, I mean, this is, of course, there's a. So does this create a trust problem, is the question. Yeah. I mean, this is a controversy. I fully agree with you. This is not how we would like it. This is just the best we can have.